Thank you, Rich. Excellent, excellent job. Powerful words. And it's not a coincidence how God works. We were riding home Friday from Tennessee, and Dennis texts my wife and says, I'm not going to be able to sing. I'm on the schedule. Been battling a sore throat, and I know I won't be able to sing. So Chris texts Rich and said, would you be able to sing this Sunday? And it is his oldest brother that just found out his wife's leaving. And his mom has been wanting to hear that song, and she's here today. So God's amazing, isn't he? The phrase of that last part, though, so hard, even if he doesn't. We like it when we tell God all about it, and he wants us to. But isn't it hard when he doesn't answer quite the way we would like him to? And I just hope, and the words were so spot on, he's always still faithful, and you can still cling to him. As I was preparing this series, I had taken some of my material with me, and as you know, Chris does the bulletin, she organizes the music, and so many of you are so faithful when you are going to sing a special to coordinate it maybe with the series if you're able to. And so I told her what the series was going to be like, and she says, well, honey, you know, that's a lot like the one you just finished. And for a minute, and I didn't say anything, for a minute I thought, oh, maybe I didn't feel this leading right. Maybe I'm doing two that's too identical, you know. And I thought, no, I felt clear. I've been working on this for about 6 weeks, and I felt this was the direction to go. And as the week wore on, and I had pretty much finished my material for this series while I was on vacation, Thursday, our last day, and I don't know what your last day of vacation, but they're a little bit dreary, aren't they? You know, here we've been living, I don't know the elevation of the cabin that we rented, but here we've been living on this mountain for 5 days, and Sunday and Monday, it was mid to upper 70s, and you can literally see for miles. I actually was going to give Rich a video off my phone, but I'm not real tech savvy with that, and I thought, well, maybe I'm asking for trouble to try to do that, but I took a video first day there with my phone. And just looking at those mountains, and then there's smoke coming out of some of them, you know, called the Smoky Mountains fog. So beautiful. But Tuesday and Wednesday, it rained nearly all day on and off. And when you get up to that elevation, it's plain fog. From our deck, where I would sit most mornings, you couldn't even tell there was a mountain. And on Sunday, when we arrived, it was just miles and miles of mountains out there. And as we were sitting Thursday afternoon, and we knew Chris was crocheting, and I'm on the deck reading, and I got a hoodie on because now it's in the 50s. And as I'm thinking about going home, and I'm looking at that fog, you know, I mean, it's just like right out there. You can't even see some of the cabins that I know is in the valley, nor, let alone the mountains that are way out there. And about 3 o'clock, the sun started to burn through a little bit. And by 4:30, before sunset, you could see that entire mountain range that I knew was out there. And while I'm sitting there, my wife came out and said, I just got a text from Mandy, and they found Chad's dad had passed. And then one of the called me and left me a voicemail that I didn't get, so I thought I better call him back. And he said, Pastor, I just quit my job, and it was the biggest decision I've made in a long time, and I need prayer. And so she came out and told me about Chad's father passing, and the man from the church, I called him back, and we talked for 15 or so minutes and told him I'd be praying for him. And then when I heard about Barb's grandson this morning, I thought, you know what, I think it's the right series. I think God knew what we needed. And if it's too identical, forgive me, but it'll all be God's word, okay? So here's where we're headed, all right? Living in a chaotic world, and certainly God wants to give us a calm. I'm going to give you a little alliteration for the word calm, okay, each week. And I'm going to have to cram it into three because I'm starting a Christmas series, so I won't have 4 full weeks. But C-A-L-M, calm. Today I'm going to do the C, and that is celebrating God's greatness. The A is that he gives us permission to ask anything in his name. Gives us permission to ask anything. L, the prayer course was great. Leave everything with him. Cast our cares on him. And then the letter M, meditate on things that are true and pure. So hopefully in the next 3 weeks we can cover that. But as I start this series, and before I go into the scripture, and by the way, if you want to make a note, the scripture that's in the bulletin, I'll be using it all 3 weeks, okay? I'll use subsequent other verses, but I'll be using that passage of scripture from Philippians all 3 weeks. But let me give you something that may cause you to think a little bit where we're at today in our world. But in the last couple of years, the United States has become the most anxious nation in the world. The most anxious nation deal with anxiety more than any other nation. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have the tendency to think if I was living in Iraq or Afghanistan, there'd be a little bit of anxiousness, wondering if there'll be some type of an explosion and some type of a street warfare, and I would think that would cause me to be anxious. I don't want to think. I know it would. And yet, I live in a fairly calm. Now, I realize we've had a lot of shootings in our news lately, but to think that in Africa, the hunger issue that is unbelievable, to think of some of those nations of the East that are battling diseases that seem out of control. And yet the nation that has the most, and we're the most anxious people in the entire world. I guess there's probably some reasons. But here's what we've achieved. By becoming the most anxious or anxiety-filled people in the world, we Americans, we now spend $300 billion a year on medication for anxiety. $300 billion a year. That's pretty hefty, isn't it? I can't even figure those numbers very well. And an average yearly event that seems to rock our nation in so many ways, and yet God gives us hope. God gives us, I think, a little formula to walk with us. Because daily in our nation, let alone the terror things that our news gives us almost the minute it happens, but we face foreclosure, we fight cancer. Have we ever seen a year in our church bulletin where so much cancer? We wade through divorce, we battle addictions, and so many uncertainties. And a lot of it's things we didn't ask for, things we didn't bargain for, things we never expected. And yet God is still God, he's still faithful. So while I was sitting on that deck and that swing and my final afternoon to be in Tennessee, knowing I'd leave the next morning, and a couple of phone calls and things from church had come through, and I had just finished my notes for this series and was pretty well assured that, you know what, God is in control and he knows what's going on. That sun broke through, and from a complete 180 of that deck, I videoed the Smoky Mountains just like this. And then back again, and if I had the ability, I would have showed it to you this morning. And after 2 days of not being able to see they were even there, I'm like, you know what? The God that I'm going to go home and talk about Sunday just spoke those into existence. And the beauty of the leaves that were still lingering for our arrival and all the goodness of God is still available. We're going to read from Philippians chapter 4, and it's a passage of scripture that maybe all of us that have grown up in church, or if you spend a decent amount of time in church recently, you'll be familiar with these. But we're going to start with verse 4 from Philippians chapter 4, and I'll probably just read it off of your screen. I have another translation I may refer to some. But rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. I'm going to read straight through it. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Thank you, Rich. And those verses will be the verses for this series. I'm going to highlight pretty much verse 4 at this time in our message as we deal with that first letter of the word calm. And that is C, celebrate God's greatness. You heard me refer to a little bit of this in our men's group about some of the prison epistles, they're called. Paul wrote a few of the letters of the New Testament while in prison. And this happens to be one of them. And as we look at Paul's life, it could be much like maybe your life. For you see, the first time we hear about Paul, his name was Saul at the time. Saul was breathing out threatenings against the church. In other words, Saul had no time for the church world. He saw it as a real problem, a real thorn to society, and with true sincerity, felt it was his job to help, you might say, paralyze the church and persecute it and even try to eliminate it if possible. And so he was just all ahead for it. We're going to wipe out the Christians. We're going to persecute them. We're going to do all these things. And then God comes in a convicting, powerful way and pierces his heart. God comes and he gets Saul's attention before he calls him Paul. Gets Saul's attention. He says, listen, Saul, you're on the wrong road, man. You think you might be doing right, but these are good people. And it's me, the God of heaven, that you're really out against here. And I'd like to talk to you, and to get your attention, you're going to be blind for a few days. I'm going to bring something in your pathway that you will no longer be able to go out and round up Christians for persecution, but you're actually going to need somebody to hold your hand or your arm and lead you, because you're going to be blind. And just like that, God gives him a total blindness. And somebody has to lead him. And during these couple of days, God begins to speak into his heart and says, listen, you're hearing from the God of the universe. You're hearing from the God that created everything. You're hearing from the God that gave you the breath of life. And Paul, being attentive to that, inquires who this God is. Of course, God brings salvation. God, in his grace and mercy, introduces his son Jesus Christ and the price he paid and offers him eternal life. And thank God, Saul accepts, and God then calls him Paul. So now Paul, just as much zeal as he had for obliterating Christianity, he's now promoting it. He's helping to start churches, and he's being a missionary to little villages in all of that part of the country, and with a desire to see the gospel grow and see it spread. And because of his aggressiveness for Christ now, he's now arrested. He's now put in prison. I thought of the words in that song, and I probably won't have the complete phrase to it, but I've heard that song so many times before, and that one phrase always catches my attention, but even if you don't answer God, you know. But the one phrase reminds us that God is faithful, and we like it when he's answering and it's going our direction, but then when it doesn't. And so I think this passage of Scripture will help us understand why men and women today can have a peace that goes beyond human comprehension. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, But I have been privileged at times in 33 years of being a pastor to be at somebody's bedside who I knew was about to pass away, and they were totally at peace. Totally at peace. Pastor, I'm ready to meet God. Pastor, it's clear. I've been in the other circumstance. One of my very first events that put me way out of my comfort zone was my first or second year here. Somebody asked me to go visit their father because they knew he was dying of cancer, and they as a family weren't sure if he loved God. And here goes this 24-year-old pastor into this hospital room, and I'm trying to think, okay, this man's old enough to be my grandpa. The daughter's old enough to be my mother, and I'm walking in there all nervous because in the hall, she asked me if I would confront this man, her dad. And my first reaction, internally, I'm going to be honest, was, why don't you ask your dad? I barely know the man. I've only lived here a year. He didn't attend my church. And yet I knew that my responsibility, because I'm a pastor, was to honor her request and go at the bedside and say, you know, it doesn't look favorable for you. Are you ready to meet God? Now, I'm still not great at that. 33 years has helped. But that was like the hardest thing for me to do. To confront a man who I knew was critical, terminal, and at the request of a grown daughter, honor that and try to give her a favorable answer. That's tough. It's hard for me. And then I began to think of the importance of having this relationship with God that has been granted to all of us. And as I see Paul unfolding with this, he's saying, I want you to know that you can have a peace that goes beyond human understanding at the graveside, the bedside, the uncertain, overwhelming, unexpected news. Now, I don't want anybody this morning, because I certainly have not mastered this. I don't want anybody this morning for a moment to think that God doesn't mind you shedding tears. You're allowed to shed tears. Your heart's broke. You're allowed to shed tears. That's our human side. That's us. And it is a very apparent that we're allowed to say, will you pray for me? And this is what I'm facing, and this is what I'm going through. But the hope that a 24-year-old pastor and now a 58-year-old pastor can offer is this, and that is, a God that created us has the ability that no doctor, no pastor, no spouse, no son or daughter, he has the ability to bring a peace in every circumstance that goes beyond my human comprehension. I wish I could explain it better. I wish I could tell you more, but Paul writes this, and so he starts off with what I think he feels and God feels is key, and that is an acknowledgement of who we're talking about. God. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then Paul rarely did this, but he says, again I say, rejoice in the Lord. Find the greatness of God and rejoice in it. That doesn't eliminate the bad news, and it doesn't take away the discomfort, and it may not even totally take away the hurt or the tears. But there's something about rejoicing in the greatness of God that must be an ointment or a salve to our soul, because God asked Paul to write it as the prelude leading into a peace that goes beyond human wisdom and human understanding. I thank God for that hope. I thank God that he's the one that offers it. He's the one that ordered it this way. It wasn't something I dreamed up or some other minister or what have you, but it was God that says, I want you to focus on my greatness. I've done that many times. As I was thinking about leaving a week's vacation that went by so fast, I'll tell you how tired I was. Saturday morning, I spent a little time. We entertained 9 hunters in our home from Wednesday night till Saturday at noon. And we were leaving at 1. And so I had cooked breakfast for all of them on Saturday morning, and they were going out to their various places to hunt. And I wanted to go to my son's and just hang out in the shanty. It was like 20 degrees, and there's a heater in there. And so that's where I went. Took no bow, just took my glasses, and I sat in there. And Tom, that's a lot of fun once you have your buck, isn't it? Tom got his buck. I got my buck. You know, we can be. So I'm sitting in there, got the heater on, got the glasses, you know, and my wife texts me. I just got word that Chad and Mandy's son's been taken to the emergency room. So I'm like, oh, man, this is like 9 o'clock, and I'm leaving at 1. So I dismantle everything, and I head home. The guys invited me to catch a Sheetz lunch with them. I said, nope, I'm going to pass. I go to the hospital and spend some time with them and their little boy. We have prayer. I run home. I hadn't even packed, and Chris is pulling in the driveway. We're to leave in an hour. Now, most of the time, guys can pack pretty soon. I pack all this, and I said, honey, you're driving. I fell asleep 3 times from Sykesville to Punxsie. Yeah. 3 times, okay? Nice husband on vacation, right? So I knew we were going to grab a sandwich at Punxsie McDonald's, and we had texted that we would just get on the road and grab a sandwich. So I ate my fish sandwich, and I was asleep before Marion Center, and I didn't wake up till Uniontown. And she says, honey, you never moved. I said, I can believe it. I said, I was wiped out. I said, I've been so tired all week, you know, and I said, it just felt so good to sleep. Well, that was me, okay? So here I am now on Thursday. I could sleep as long as I wanted to, which I'm not a sleep in person anyhow, but I can sleep as long as I wanted to, get up when I wanted to, read when I wanted to, you know, I did all that for a week. And Thursday, these calls came in. I'm thinking about going home, how quick it went. It's foggy out. That doesn't help anything. And I said, honey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get 2 cupcakes. I found a cupcake place in Pigeon Forge that's phenomenal. Like, totally phenomenal, okay? I've been telling her about them for 3 years. When I found the place, I go in and get one. And, of course, I have to have a cup of coffee. And I said, you want one? No, I don't think I want a cupcake. Okay. I did it last year. Cupcake, cup of coffee. So here it is, foggy, rainy, and we had agreed, this is our last afternoon, we're going to go to the cabin, she's going to crochet, I'm going to read, and we're leaving at 6 a.m. on Friday morning. So I said, I got one request, I want one more cupcake. All right, so she's driving, she goes to this little bakery, and I said, are you sure you don't want one of these? Are they good? I said, are they good? I said, this is my 3rd time here. I said, yes, they're good. And she says, all right, what kind do they have? I said, come on in. You know, it's just like from the curb into the store. Come on in. And I said, pick one out. And so she comes in, and I know every time I go, mine's red velvet and cream cheese icing. And icing's like this, no kidding. I got pictures on my phone. Okay, that thick. So she's looking at it, and she asked the lady there what kind of icing they are, you know. Is it with cream icing or whipped, I'm getting on my category, but anyhow. So she buys one, put them in a box, $8. $4 a cupcake, okay? I knew that going in, she didn't. And I didn't tell her that, okay? So it's like, I take a picture of these 2 cupcakes in this carrier, send it to my sister, and say, we're headed for the cabin, and my wife's actually gonna have a cup of coffee. She don't drink coffee, very, very, very seldom. And I said, we're going to have these 2 cupcakes at the cost of $8. I said, I could buy a whole cake in Dubois for $8. And she texted, yeah, yes, but it's vacation. And I said, yes, and look at that icing. And I'm telling you, what, your mouth watering? Man, they were good. So we go back, and I brewed coffee in the little kitchenette of the cabin and made us both a cup of coffee, and we're sitting there in this little table area looking out over the Smoky Mountains that we can't see. It's foggy. And we're having our cupcakes, you know, and she says, well, I'm going to crochet. I said, I'm going on the deck. I'm going to do some reading. And then that sun breaks through. But we were both just a little bit down. Cupcakes helped. Fog didn't. But when that sun, I come in, I said, honey, you got to see this sunset. Like, unbelievable. And there it was. And as I sat on that swing, and as she took a few pictures with her camera, I said, that God that I'm reading about, that I'm going to talk about Sunday, spoke all of those things. And he's promised to give a peace that goes beyond all comprehension in your most overwhelmed circumstance. Again, I hope I have been fair to let you know that no way am I a master at this. I cry too. I hurt too. I struggle too with bad news. But I'm learning the power and the greatness of God and to ponder on Him. Just spending time reminding myself and reviewing the greatness of God. The next two things might be a little harder. I would think it's fairly easy to ponder on the greatness of our God. The next thing in the verse says, let your gentleness be known to all men. Your gentleness. Why would that be so important to earning peace that goes beyond human wisdom? Evidently, it is to God. Evidently, He wants you and I to be gentle. He obviously wants the world to see our gentleness, because He said, let your gentleness be known to all men. Isn't it nice when you're down and you're hurting and somebody's been gentle with you? There's one thing I'm very appalled to when I'm hurting. Well, you know what you need to do. You just need to, no, that's not how I feel. I'm hurting. And God says, let your gentleness be seen. Gentle. I love it when people are gentle. I think we could probably use the word kind there. But gentleness in my spirit, even when the news is overwhelming, let your gentleness be seen. I thank God for the people who have been gentle with me in my life, in every area of my life. Areas where I know I should have probably progressed faster and quicker, but the gentle spirit so ministered to my heart. It's obviously important to God that during those overwhelming moments of our life, yes, ponder on Him, but be gentle. We have a tendency when we hurt to be harsh, don't we? We're hurting. We want to lash out. We want people to know how much we hurt, but to be gentle. And then the third thing He says, and the Lord is here or near. I read it in several translations this week. He said, remember, the Lord's right here. He's not way out here, but He's right here. I'm near. I'm right there. So this morning, as you and I are living in a chaotic world, a world that seems out of control in so many ways, I don't think there'd be any of us disagree with that. Yet God says, I want to give you a peace that'll go beyond any human ability of understanding. Not capable of earning it, working at it, but simply in trusting God. Ponder Him, be gentle, and thank God. We have a great reminder that He's right here. We don't have to wonder. I wonder if He's even thinking about me, caring about me. How close is He? Does He know that it's going on right now? He's right here. Paul says He's near. Means close, right beside. Thank God for that. I'll never forget this. Last year, we took the same trip. Normally, we try to go about the first or second week of November, the only week of our entire year that Chris and I don't invite our kids. We take them about every place else. We invite them. And you know what we did this year? We started thinking maybe we need to invite them next year. I'm not sure why we thought that. But anyhow, we started to think about that. But it's just her and I. And it's just the one week of our entire year that the two of us go. And so it's been a refreshing time, and it's a time when we can kind of just leave, you know, everything behind. I heard you had a great message last week. Chad, you're the new announcement giver. Somebody told me this morning you did a tremendous job, so the announcements are going to be yours from here on out. And it's great, isn't it, you know? And so you go away, and you come back, and you feel refreshed. And so we did this last year, and I wasn't quite at the amount of rest and peace that I was, because the election was Tuesday while I'm away. And we voted, first time in our life, proxy, and we left our vote here, absentee ballot, you know. And I told this story. We stayed up, she stayed up to 1, I stayed up to 3:30 to find out. The day before, on Monday, we went to a store that I always take Chris to, she loves it, called Old Time Pottery. And guys, you'll hate it. Ladies, you'll love it, okay? It's just ceramics and flowers and vines and whatever season's in. You go now, there's a little bit of fall and a little bit of Christmas. It's all that kind of, for I don't know how many buildings this size if you put them all together. And I remember I had gone to a tool outlet, and I came back. Chris, I had left Chris there. And I come back, and I wandered through, and I found her. And we happened to be in the nativity aisle. And she was thinking of getting a new nativity for our house. And this little tiny elderly lady, I'm going to say maybe close 80, so if somebody's close 80, I think you might be getting elderly. But anyhow, she was in her early 80s, I'm guessing, but yay tall, you know, and she's looking at the nativity. And I'm not sure why she turned to Chris and I, but Chris was looking at nativities. And she says, well, you know, after this election tomorrow, this will probably be the last nativity I'm allowed to buy. Boy, that was encouraging, wasn't it? I'm like, whoa. I'm like, she's really, you know, and I'm thinking, I hope I've got another 30 years or so based on her age, you know. And I'm like, man, that's pretty dismal to think no more nativities. Well, guess what? We're still putting nativities up, aren't we? God is not caught by surprise at the chaos of this world or the direction it's headed. God knows every single event, and he worries on our behalf, if you can put it that way. He cares on our behalf. He extends himself on our behalf. With this goal in mind, I want to give you a peace, put your anxiety at rest, and a peace that will go beyond human comprehension. So if you're in for that, he has that for us. Remember, start out by concentrating on the greatness of our God. And as we finish this series in two more weeks, he has a peace in our upside-down world. Doesn't mean we're not human. We still cry, we still hurt, but a peace that only God can give. God, thank you this morning for the hope of this scripture. I don't know what I would tell my friends this morning that have come to worship with tears. I don't know what I could give them, a hug, a pat on the back, some nice words. But you promised to give a peace that will go beyond all that. May we learn that in this series, and may you give that in a special way to those hurting here this morning. A few that I know, there may be many more with burdens that are just so weighty. But we know a couple, news that just tore their world apart, and rightfully so. We want to concentrate as we go into this Thanksgiving season on the greatness of our God. There's not one thing you don't know about. You miss nothing, and you care about everyone. And so may we trust that God this morning. These things we pray in your name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.